and teaching about that, I don't know of anybody that's taught from childhood up about doing the works of Jesus. And yet, there it is right there in Scripture. And it's amazing. Jesus did say, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," meaning He wants them to understand these things too. Now, granted, you teach it to them in a different way that they can begin to grasp. But every one of us in here, this applies to us. Everybody listening to this tape, everyone in the body of Christ, this applies to us. We can do the works of Jesus. And essentially, we can do the works of Jesus even before we come to the full knowledge of a specific ministry calling. Now, that might sound somewhat contradictory, but think about it. When we understand what it takes to walk in this anointing, and we're going to as we go further along, think about what we read a little bit earlier tonight. In the book of Ephesians, what was talked about first? The authority and the power, or the ministry callings? Ephesians chapter 1, the authority and the power. All things under His feet, power, principalities, and so forth, were the body, etc. And then, three chapters later, it talks about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. So the first thing He says is, listen, it doesn't matter who you are or what you're called to be, God wants you to know these things and He wants you to understand this. Oh, and by the way, some of you are pastors, some of you are apostles, some of you are evangelists, etc. and so forth. However, go back to chapter 1. God wants you to know this. This is more important to understand than understanding pastor. Because there are a lot of people out there, they may understand and know they're called to be a pastor, but they're not teaching anything like this and they actually take a stand against it. But if they knew Ephesians 1 first, before they got to Ephesians 4, what is my calling, then maybe they'd have a different perspective of how their calling is supposed to be operating or how they're supposed to be operating in that calling. And the reason for the misunderstanding about the works, let's talk about this for a moment. You're in John. Take a look in chapter 14 and let's begin in verse 6. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And again, that word works, the second one there, it was in italics, and it should just say, "and greater than these shall he do." Now, in this, where Jesus is talking, they say, "We want to see the Father." And Jesus says, "Wait a minute, if you see me, you've seen the Father." And he goes on to say, "Don't you guys understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father?" Well, that doesn't make sense. In a natural perspective, that doesn't make sense at all. Well, he's talking about the unity that he had with the Father because of the life that they shared. He had the life of the Father. And he's saying, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me operate, if you've watched me, then you've seen me, or you've seen the Father operating through me, because it's the Father in me doing the works. And he said, look, if you're not going to believe me for what I say, at least believe me for the work's sake. You know, don't you understand that I'm here to represent the Father? See, that's what he said. You see me, you've seen the Father. I'm representing the Father. Well, a lot of times we don't understand when it talks about doing the works of Jesus, not understanding what Jesus was here to do. Well, he came to be the Savior of the world. Well, yeah, that's true. He did. But he was representing the Father. It was the Father's desire for there to be a Savior of the world, and it was the Father's desire for the people to see how the Father really wants things done in the lives of other people. And so Jesus came down to demonstrate that. When you talk about doing the works of Jesus, you're talking about doing the works of the Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And by the way, I'm doing the works of the Father. So, if I'm doing the works of Jesus, I'm doing the works of the Father. Now, here's the thing about that. If I stand up and I tell you that healing's not for today, then what I'm saying is the Father no longer works healing in people. And since he no longer works healing in people, it's not his will for healing to take place. But if the Father is still the Father, if he's still the same, if he hasn't changed, then the works of the Father includes healing. You see what I'm saying? You can't get away from this. And so Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now turn over to John chapter 17. In John 17, verse 18, Jesus said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now think about this. Jesus makes a statement, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he says, it's the Father in me doing the works. Then over here in John 17, he says, look, and he's praying. He says, Father, I'm sending them into the world in the same way that you sent me into the world. And this prayer is not just for the ones that are with me now, but for everybody who will believe their word. Which, really, that's us too, because we're, you know, the downline, so to speak, of that preaching. And he says, I want them to be one like you and I are one. Well, what happened with Jesus in John 14, the Father and me, I and the Father, the works were a byproduct of that. Then he turns around and he says, but I want the same thing for them. Everybody who believes, I want the same thing for them. So therefore, if we end up having the same standing with the Father that Jesus had when he was on earth, then that gives us the opportunity to do the same works that Jesus did when Jesus was on the earth. Now, granted, we can't be a Messiah. We can't be a Savior. You want to crucify me? Go ahead and crucify me. However, it's not going to get anybody saved. I'll just be dead. You see what I'm saying? He was the only one who could do anything like that. But when it comes to all of these other things that he did, the way that he ministered and so forth, we can do the same thing. There's so many people in the body of Christ that don't believe this. No, that was Jesus. We're not Jesus. We're just us. Yeah. But Jesus is talking about you being in unity with him and the Father the way he was in unity with the Father. Now, if that's true, it means we have access to the same kind of anointing. Whether we want to accept that or not, I mean, that's totally up to us. But even if I say I don't believe it, it won't change the Word of God. I'll open my Bible next week. It's still going to say the same thing. You know what I mean? And so what I believe is irrelevant to what he has declared. But it really serves me a whole lot better if I get in agreement with what he has declared and begin going in that direction. So I can read this and get this. The plan of the Father includes for every single one of us to have the same standing with him that Jesus had as a son. The Father in me, I in the Father. Now I can stand up and I can say that. The Father in me, I in the Father. I can say the exact same thing Jesus said about me that he said about himself. But what's so sad is that there are a lot of people who would be critical of that. Oh, well, you can't say that. Who do you think you are? Jesus? No, I'm his brother. I'm in the same family. So yes, I can say the same thing. I mean, doesn't the Bible say, firstborn of many brethren? So I'm in the family. We have the same Father. So I can say, the Father in me, and I in the Father. I can also say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see what I'm saying? So, when I come to an understanding of what God's trying to get across to me, that helps me then to begin to understand the anointing that Jesus walked in is available to me. The anointing of God, the power of God. And I can become, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jim of Dayton with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That almost sounds blasphemous. I mean, by our traditions, does it not? But that's the Word of God. Start seeing yourself as Acts 10:38. Put your own name in there. Brother Martin, I don't know. This is so radical. Yeah, and God is hoping we become radically convinced that's what He wants for us. He's hoping that we see ourselves. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, the Father and me, I and the Father. Jesus said, I pray for them to have the same unity. So if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power because they had that same kind of, they had that unity, and then it turns around that we have the same kind of unity, we can be Acts 10:38. Put your own name in there. That's who you can become. And it doesn't matter what you're called as far as a pastor or evangelist or anything else. This kind of an anointing can operate in the lives of all believers. We're going to see more examples of it here in Scripture in just a few moments. Let's talk about... Oh, turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. And begin reading in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Now this word Spirit shouldn't be capitalized, because He's not talking Holy Ghost. He's talking about life and nature, born-again Spirit. He has given to us of His life. And this is essentially what Jesus was saying. This is a variation on the exact words of Jesus Christ. The Father in me, I in the Father. Father, I pray for them, that they would be one in us as we are one in each other and so forth. And then right here, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us. It's saying the exact same thing. And it's not because of the Holy Ghost. It's because we've become the child of God. We've become born again, sin nature removed, and in its place the life and the nature of the Father. So we could restate this correctly this way. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us a born-again Spirit. That's a way you could say this. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, this verse 15 is very similar to John 3:16. It's not simply meaning whosoever shall confess that Jesus... I mean, there are people out there, you go out tonight and find a bunch of drunks in a bar and ask them who's Jesus, and they'll say, well, Jesus, He's the Son of God. But they're not born again. So this isn't saying... You just acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, and then you're born again. It's you have to believe on Him and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And in verse 16, he says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, who's this talking about? Well, look again. Verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. As he is, so are we in this world. Yeah, it's talking about Jesus, but it's talking about God. As God is, so are we in this world. So, Brother Martin, I really think you've gone off the deep end. Well, what's that saying there? Who else is that talking about? As he is, so are we in this world. Who else? He's not talking about the devil. As the devil is, now, well, in some cases... I mean, there's some people make you wonder, huh? I'm talking in the church. But no, who else would he be talking about here? He is talking about God as God is. Again, never deity. But when it comes to life and nature and who you are as a Christian, what happened when you got born again? As God is, so are you. So if God is love, guess what? Love's in you. Well, that's... People want to wait and blame everything on the Holy Ghost. Well, He hadn't given me love yet. No, excuse me, are you born again? I'm born again. Then you have a love spirit in you. Not Holy Ghost spirit, love nature. That's who you become. If God is love, then your born again spirit, your new nature is a new nature of love. So don't tell me you can't love somebody. You just don't want to. Because as He is, so are we. And this one, this is like some of these other verses. Boy, you get a hold of this. And you can begin to see, as God is, put it this way, as the Father is, Jesus was in this world. As the Father is, so are we in this world. As God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and went about signs, wonders, and miracles, God also can anoint us, fill in your name and wherever you're from, with the Holy Ghost and power, and we too can do the works of Jesus. That's what God wants. You know, it's just incredible when you think about this. Why in the world would God have one man walk on this earth to do these things and nobody else be qualified? If he's trying to demonstrate himself to other people, doesn't it just stand to reason that he would want to do it generation after generation after generation so that the world would know that he is love? He doesn't want your body to stay sick. He doesn't want your mind to stay confused. He doesn't want you to stay addicted. He doesn't want this. He wants you delivered, healed, delivered from all the oppression of the devil. That's what he wants. And so, starting with Jesus, and then going generation after generation after generation to today, we are supposed to be that. We are supposed to be the ones that God uses this way. And he will. Now, to our benefit, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ, they don't understand this. Because we have not been taught that we can have a Jesus anointing, so to speak. A Christ anointing. We haven't been taught that. We've been taught, you know, you pray and you wait on God. You pray and believe God. You pray and you confess the Word. You pray. And all those things, yes, that's right. But when you begin to understand that there is a greater anointing that God wants us to operate in, you begin to see things a little bit differently. And I can tell you one person who does not want you to understand this, and that's Satan. I'm telling you right now, he does not want you to grasp what you're hearing tonight. He does not want you to grasp the concept of a greater anointing, because he knows if you do, and if suddenly this truth is like it just explodes before your very eyes and you realize, oh my goodness, I can do this. Oh wow, that anointing is available to me. I can walk in this anointing. And I can go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. I can do this. And then you start pressing deeper into that anointing. Satan knows he is going to have a hard time with you. It's kind of like with Paul. He got the devil so honked off that Satan sent a personal messenger. Did he? It's what Scripture says. The messenger of Satan. I don't read that about anybody else. I mean, Jesus was face to face with Satan. Paul only got the messenger. But I don't read anybody else that got the messenger. I know some of you feel like he's living in my house right now. No. Trust me. I'm sure it's very possible that other people throughout history have had a messenger of Satan sent their way. I don't know. But in Scripture, Paul, buddy, he got that visitation. You know, you talk about wanting a visitation, that's not the kind you want. But you know what? You can earn it. Say, I don't know if I want to or not, Brother Martin. Oh, but think of the presence of God that you're going to walk in. Think of what kind of power and anointing you would be walking in that would get Satan so worried he would send his own messenger to pay you a visit. That's why Paul could take all of those beatings and everything else and just sit there and sing and praise and worship. Amen. I mean, it's like, hey, listen, you know, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So either way, I win. Devil, you want to keep me locked up in prison? You do your best. I'm just going to get the jailers led to the Lord. The other prisoners are going to hear me worship. They're going to be led to the Lord. What do you want, devil? I can win them in. I can win them out. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you want done. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, let's take a break right here. You know, come back in about 8 minutes. And we'll pick up and conclude for the evening. And those of you listening by tape, this is the end of this particular tape.
Due to time limitations for this evening, this extended Class 1 session also represents our Class 2 time period. The next tape you listen to will be Class 3.